welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys to this. I don't know how I'm alive. It's post-National Signing Day, and Luke, you're going to have to keep me afloat for the show.
Hey, Ryan, is this your first National Signing Day? Couple things that happened. Is it your first one, but is it your first one as a homeowner? Was there an added level of stress in that?
I don't know that it was owning a house that added the level of stress, but it's been a day that has been long. I hate having National Signing Day in the middle of a game week, let alone a middle of Wisconsin week. It's like I just messaged Luke about 20 minutes ago. I was like, hey, we got to record the podcast. And I was like, holy hell, there's a game on Saturday and it's an important one. And so now I have to kind of shift here from National Signing Day mode here on Gopher Illustrated to we got a preview of football game and I got to kind of get back in that mindset. But Luke, before we start to do that, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor, including an event that you and I have agreed to do tomorrow night?
Yeah. So for people listening, we are recording this on Wednesday night, which is National Signing Day, the opening of National Signing Day. It extends through February. But so it's the Wednesday, the opening of National Signing Day. And the podcast is brought to you by the Goal Line Club, as it always has been all of 2020. You can check out live events that they might have, like this event that we're going to do tomorrow night, which is going to be Thursday. I believe that date, if I'm not mistaken,
it's
I have a 17th. Okay. At 7 p.m., it's going to be on Zoom. So no matter where you are, thanks to COVID, you can join. So make sure you get to the website, sign up. Ryan and I are going to do this live thing. I'm going to be in my unfinished basement, which frankly I'm not ashamed of in any way, shape or form. I'm gonna not turn on the lights. I'm gonna be on the camera. This is how I do all my meetings all day.
No.
Whatever.
You're turning on the lights.
No, I think I'm gonna keep the lights off. It'll be fine. The big monitor in front of me provides just enough reflection off my pasty skin, and it's a beautiful thing. So
yeah, that's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Thursday. There's a Zoom link on Gopher Illustrated. There's a Zoom link that you can join as well on the Goal Line Club's website. We just want to make sure that those guys know that we're this podcast and the members of GI are showing them love. And like Luke said, I'll be giving some National Signing Day takes. We'll be kind of looking at the season as a whole. And then we'll be also getting into the Wisconsin game this upcoming week.
And if this doesn't bring you to the event, I have read almost zero of Ryan's articles on recruits. I've never tried to pronounce one of these names outside of Ethan Kaliakmanis, which he forced me to read one other time. How do I do with that, by the way?
I have spent the last 72 hours like writing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of words. I have pretty pictures. I have everything to try and convey to the normal Gopher football fan who knows nothing about recruiting. This is what the class is, and the class is really damn good.
Yeah.
And here's Luke. Yeah, I haven't read anything. I'm going to tell Ryan that on the podcast after 7 hours of sleep in the last 2 days. I told Luke in the pre-production meeting, for those of you who are parents who have been parents and you have young ones, I don't know how you do it. I am gassed, and Luke is just the worst. So, yes, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Goal Line Club. Go to their website, goalineclub.org, or I have it posted on Gopher Illustrated. I mean, yeah, come hang out with us and crack open a beer. And I think the plan is also to take Zoom chat questions. So if you know how to put a question into the Zoom chat, by this stage of your Zoom career, we will definitely get to them. And so that's how you can get to it.
All right. That's going to be fun. All right. So we do have to preview a Gopher game. Originally, we were supposed to play a team from the East. We didn't know that it was going to be the team from the East, being the Wisconsin Badgers.
What a transition.
Thank you.
That was outstanding.
Thank you. So pretty excited to get into this Wisconsin game. Obviously, when we were supposed to initially play Wisconsin, we were, we being the Gophers, were 21-point underdogs. As I look at the line today, here we sit, only 12-point dogs, Ryan. Only 12-point dogs. It's just enough to give this, like, they don't respect us, you know, narrative, but also, like, you know, it's a big improvement from where it was before. So something has improved for the Gophers in that time. But before we get into this, I think we have to give a moment, as this is likely the last game of the season, an opportunity for you, basically to give us your depth chart and or injury report, LOL.
There's going to be some guys back. I don't know who they are. How's that for you? Is Fleck, Fleck doesn't tell us. I haven't asked since Sunday or since Saturday, because myself and the Minnesota football staff more or less have been in recruiting mode / we need to really prepare now for Wisconsin mode. Mm-hmm. And I have not even bothered to ask who's back and who's not. And if you want to know that, that's the perk of being a GI member. I kind of told them last week, offensive line and defensive line is going to look a lot different. If you didn't pick up on that hint, you weren't reading the right threads. So I'll have something probably by Friday about who's back and who's not and whatnot. And if you're looking for signing day takes, there's a ton of stuff to read for free on GI. If you're looking for the signing day pod, Luke is going to work with me to figure out how to do it, but it's not going to be for you freeloaders anymore. It's going to be me doing a post-National Signing Day download of everything that I know, so I can just get it out there into the ether, but it's going to be for GI members only. It's going to be password protected, and so that's for you beautiful folks. It's $1. I've told you this for years. Just do it, and we'll get to that then. So depth chart wise, I mean, it sounds like maybe Ko Keefe and Jake Paulson are going to be back, which is great to get the top two tight ends back, so we can actually have something resembling, you know, as much as I am a Brevin Spanford truther, I would much rather see him get those same amount of snaps, but Minnesota actually have another tight end in there that's a little bit better blocker at this stage of the career. And we'll also find out who they get back in the offensive and defensive lines, but it's a lot different because it's not just Minnesota anymore dealing with COVID issues. It's also Wisconsin, because their top running back and Jalen Berger, their All-American that they signed as a true freshman last year, he's out with COVID. They got some other receivers that are out with COVID. Or they have some receivers, considering I talked about a running back, but I mean, this is a broken Wisconsin offense right now. And God almighty, you know, I can hear Derek Burns in the back of my head saying, Ryan, remember, Wisconsin quarterbacks only torch Minnesota.
Okay, so real quick, this is the battle for the axe, but is this also the battle for COVID supremacy? Like, these are probably the two most COVID-inflicted teams in all of the Big Ten. So whoever
fire tonight,
whoever wins this game gets to reign as COVID king.
Gets the vaccine first.
Yeah, get the vaccine.
Give them the vaccine for the vaccine first. I don't know. I mean, you're right. I mean, you look at Indiana Purdue, that was canceled, re-canceled for the second time. I think there was another Big Ten game that's canceled.
Michigan-Iowa was canceled.
So it looks like these two teams are going to be able to play. And to be honest, folks, yeah, I mean, as much as any of us, including myself, would want to see Minnesota win the game on Saturday, I'm just happy the game's played. You know, we can kind of see, because, I mean, this might be a discussion for Sunday, Luke, but I think this is going to be Minnesota's last game of the year.
Yeah,
I don't think they end up, if they do get a bowl bid, I don't think they play.
I think too, like, you know, you've seen a number of teams around the country have players vote on this. And, you know, frankly, I don't blame players.
There's no way I can see Minnesota's players not saying, I want to go home.
Right.
Because here's the reality, folks, as much as you would want to see them, and I'd love to see another football game after this weekend, it is December the 16th right now, and next week is Christmas. And these kids, some of them have not been home since June. They have been in the University of Minnesota bubble, getting tested every day, haven't seen their families outside of maybe in the stadium waving to them, more or less. They want to go home for 3 weeks and rest and recover and mentally get themselves in a place where they can come back in January for winter conditioning and winter workouts and be in a place where they can give it 100% go. But I can't imagine. I mean, for all of us, it's been obviously a very draining year, but for these 18 to 22 year old individuals who haven't seen their families in months, I mean, I can't blame them one bit if we get news on Sunday or Monday that Minnesota has decided to opt out of. I mean, it's not going to be an important bowl game. Let's be honest here, win or loss. It'd be like this or the Belk Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, does anybody want to go to Charlotte? The day after Christmas? No.
No. Well, and you probably can't anyway, right? Like, it's all going to be on TV. It's not like people are going to be able to travel. So, All right. Let's, before we talk about offense and defense, let's get a word from our favorite insurance agent, your father, Bill Burns.
Yeah. And as we just talked about, I mean, 2020 has been a year for all of us. It's been a year of the unexpected. It's been a year of the challenging events. And if there's anything we can try to take some solace in, is that you can hopefully count on having the right protection. And that's where your insurance agent comes in handy. And that's where the Burns Insurance Agency, owned by my father, Bill Burns, is that company to help with life's unexpected events. Whether it's an auto accident, a broken water heater at your home or business, the Burns Insurance Agency will have you covered. Now, they're an independent insurance agency, which means they have access to over 20 different insurance companies. So they can shop for the best coverage at the best price for you, and they do it every single year you're with them. So you never have to worry, am I getting the best price? Well, they're already shopping it for you against 20 different insurance companies. So if you want to look at your insurance, I know it's such a riveting topic, but let's be honest, if you can save some money in the holiday season here, maybe you can buy little Johnny something a little bit nicer. So check it out at insurancebyburns.com or email him at bill@insurancebyburns.com.
All right, so let's look at when the Gophers are on offense. They come into this season, or they come into this game, averaging 29 points per game. Wisconsin's defense is stout and has been historically with that vaunted 3-4 defense. They come in at 15.4 points per game. I think the key number to look into here, the Gophers average 212.5 rushing, or sorry, they average 199.5 rushing yards per game. To Wisconsin is giving up 83.2. And I just have to imagine that something's just going to have to give there. And I imagine, you know, I think this might be a game that we just got to say, okay, Tanner Morgan, you were arguably one of the best quarterbacks last year. You're a veteran now. Go win us a football game.
I wish I could say that with any amount of conviction that I believe Mike Sanford will do that, because that's what I would do. And we'll get into why. But I just don't have any conviction that him or Fleck will do it. Here's why I say this, is Wisconsin's on a 3-game losing streak, yet they still have statistically the number one overall defense statistically in the Big Ten, the number one run defense, and the number one pass defense. Like, if you're the Wisconsin defense, I'd be livid, because the offense has been screwing you over 3 weeks, because their front seven is really bleeping good. Mm-hmm. It is the best front seven Minnesota's faced all year. And oh, by the way, Minnesota could potentially be down their top three tight ends and two without two of their starting offensive linemen. And so that would be, I don't want to see the match of Isaiah Loudermilk versus Nathan Bowe. I have no interest in watching that, because I think I know how it's going to go. And I mean, we'll get into why in a few minutes here, but as Luke alluded to, if I'm Mike Sanford, I am absolutely doing this. I am passing the ball to set up the run instead of running the ball to set up the pass. And what I mean by that is you can't run the ball in Wisconsin. I mean, last year, Minnesota, fully healthy with all their tight ends and all six of their starting linemen until Falele went down. But even still, then you had all five of your starting linemen there, plus your three tight ends. You managed 76 rushing yards on 30 carries at home against Wisconsin last year. Okay. The last 3 weeks, Northwestern ran for 1 yard a carry. Indiana ran for 2 yards a carry, and Iowa ran for 4 yards a carry. Like, you're not going to be able to run the ball, yet Minnesota runs the ball 60% of the time. Like, I don't want to see inside zone, outside zone, third and eight pass. Like, let's pass the ball on early downs, because that's the way to move it against this defense, to have anything resembling success, because the last 3 weeks – Wisconsin's defense has struggled to generate turnovers, and they've allowed 6 passing touchdowns with no picks. And oh, by the way, Wisconsin has allowed one total rushing touchdown all year. One. Mm-hmm. So the ball needs to go through the air.
Let's just look back at these three games. You brought up Iowa, Indiana, and Northwestern, right? So in specific, you know, Iowa, would you argue that Iowa probably is the best running attack we saw all year?
Oh,
I think you could make an argument for Michigan in that first game, but I would say Iowa.
I thought Maryland ran the ball well, to be honest. Now, the crazy part about the statistics for Iowa is they went 32 carries for 127 yards against Wisconsin's defense, which on paper looks good. The crazy thing is, if you take out, I think Tyler Goodson had like an 80-yard touchdown. If you take that out, on the other 31 carries,
just
they went
stealing
like 31
my stuff.
Carries for 39 yards. Oh, yeah. Feels bad, man.
Feels bad. But here's the point, right? Like, they committed to it, but that's the identity of Iowa. They never change, right? Northwestern, though, on the other hand, I think maybe puts together a decent blueprint for what Minnesota could do against Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Right? And they throw the ball 45 times to 24 rushing attempts. Now, you might say, well, you know, whatever, Northwestern couldn't run the ball at all. Well, they have to some extent to keep them honest. But they only completed 24 of those 45 passes. So, yes, they're dinking and dunking, but they're putting that pressure on the perimeter, right? Where Ryan, to your point, you said in the last podcast, you know, the strength of this is that front seven for Wisconsin. I think that Minnesota has the pieces. I think they could go quick and you know, keep short passes in front and put the receivers in space. I think that is the formula for success here, and we just have to be able to see if they're willing to do this, they being Stanford and Fleck.
I just want to see that if they're not able to run the ball in the first quarter, and I fully expect Minnesota to try and run the ball and
first quarter, try like first drive.
Again, Luke, I'm going to temper my expectations here. So after the first quarter, if Minnesota is like they were in the third quarter last week, where they had run the ball, I think, 9 times for 15 yards. Can we not keep going back to it, especially if Wisconsin has a 10-0 or a 7-3 lead? I just – even with like a 1 or 2 score deficit, I just want to see Minnesota – I want to see Mike Sanford in game 7 – or what is it? Yeah, it's game 7. Like, show a willingness to deviate from what he's done all year. Show me that you're willing to adapt to circumstance. Because the circumstances would dictate Minnesota's offensive line is not at full capacity. Minnesota's tight end room, it's not at full capacity. And your best shot is to move the ball through the air, in our opinion. Let's see if you're willing to adapt to that.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree. All right, so let's talk about when the Gophers are on defense. Let's be completely honest. Wisconsin came out white hot early in this season, right? Graham Mertz put up a crazy stat line against Illinois. I don't have it in front of me, but they came out white hot.
Right.
Since then, they have been putrid at best. All right. So
Graham Mertz has been putrid at best.
But let's just look at points scored. Just simply points scored in their three losses in a row. 7-6-7. Right? Very, very little success in the scoring department. Now I'm not saying that Minnesota has a defense like Iowa or Indiana or Northwestern. Those are three better defenses in the conference, right? But I think you just have to do just enough, bend but don't break, but just enough and force a couple turnovers. You got a chance to be in this game.
Absolutely. I mean, as I mentioned, to start off the show, their top running back's going to be down. They were without their top receiver last week. And Graham Mertz has been, frankly, awful the last 3 weeks. Now, here's what I'll also mention. Northwestern, Indiana, and Iowa also have some pretty damn good defenses.
Right.
Minnesota does not have a damn good defense. They played a lot better last week. Yeah, but I'm going to believe it when I see it that they can do that 2 weeks in a row.
Let me pose a question to you, right?
Sure.
Nebraska, very one-dimensional. Wisconsin, are they also equally one-dimensional right now?
Well, they can't run the ball right now, which is, right. I mean, and that's where I'll get into, I mean, I can get into it now. I mean, Minnesota on the season has allowed 8.33 yards per carry to running backs.
Right.
Wisconsin has run the ball for under 4 yards a carry in their 3-game losing streak, like with their tailbacks, and their top tailback is out, and they're dealing with some offensive line issues. So it's like, which one's going to give? Is Minnesota's run defense going to look really good because Wisconsin can't run the ball, or is Wisconsin going to be able to find traction in Madison?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to probably be somewhere in between? I don't know. But what you want to do is make Graham Mertz beat you, because he has been struggling. Mm-hmm. He's got one touchdown and seven turnovers in his last three games. I mean, he's the reason why this, among other things, why this offense is struggling so much. So if you're Joe Rossi, stop the run, make Mertz try to beat you for his fourth straight game. And I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Wisconsin's on a three-game losing streak. And if it's they can't run the ball and Mertz has an early turnover, you don't think that sideline is start to look at each other and go, oh, boy, here we go again. And then you can capitalize, but you mm-hmm. have to stop the run first and foremost.
Yeah, you know, I just want to look back at, you know, at least in Minnesota's wins this year, right? Against Illinois, like, you know, they won 41-14. That was maybe one of the defense's better performances on the season. Let's be honest. Illinois couldn't throw the ball one-dimensional, okay? Let's go back to Purdue. Into the game, Purdue couldn't run the ball at all, right? They were pretty one-dimensional throwing it. Again, Purdue made some mistakes, missed some field goals, etc. They were a little bit more balanced, but again, we're able to squeak out a win there. And then Nebraska, again, very one-dimensional. They basically could only run the ball. The forward pass looked like a new concept to Adrian Martinez. Like, I think that if you can get Wisconsin to be one-dimensional, which I think they basically are at this point, and you can somehow hold Graham Mertz in check, I think you have a chance.
Absolutely. I mean, without question. I mean, we'll talk about that third phase of the game, which I'd love for them to show up two contests in a row in Madison, Wisconsin. But we'll get into that a little bit later.
All right, let's chat a little bit quickly about this event that we're going to do with the Goal Line Club before we get into predictions and keys to the game. So just, Ryan, if people don't know, like, during this pandemic, this thing called Zoom has gotten pretty big, right? So everybody, if you haven't heard of Zoom, install the installer on your machine now while you're listening. Even if you're at work, you know, install it. You're at home, install, and then go to goalineclub.org or go to GI, find the link, sign up, whatever you need to do. Join us tomorrow night, Thursday the 17th. It's going to be fun. I'm going to probably have to pronounce some names that I have never tried to read or pronounce before. You can all make fun of me.
I'm going to make myself a beverage for that event.
Are you really? I mean, there you go.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to crack open a cold one or make yourself a mixie, like I think I'm going to do, and listen to some Gopher football talk, because I don't know how much more of it we're going to get in this season. I think it would be an absolutely elite idea, Luke, join us tomorrow night.
And you have no excuse that you live outstate or you live in Florida or you live in Europe. You can join us tomorrow. Okay.
7 p.m. Central Time.
Central Standard Time. All right. Yes. So let's talk real quickly now about let's look at the betting lines real quick, and then we'll get into your keys to the game. What I see right now is -12 for Wisconsin. I think that's a fair line. The over under being 47. Wisconsin on the season is 2-3 against the spread. The Gophers are 3-3 against the spread. This game is going to be at 3 p.m. on BTN. This will be December 19th. It is being played in Madison, Wisconsin. I haven't looked at the weather, but why don't you give us your keys to the game, and I'm going to check out the weather in Madison.
I think the weather's supposed to be pretty decent, but we talked about the first key already. My first key is if I'm Mike Sanford, I need to pass the ball to set up the run, because as I mentioned, without a doubt, Wisconsin's defense is going to be the toughest one that Minnesota's faced all year. They're number two in scoring defense. They're only allowing 15 points a game, and statistically, they're the number one run defense and pass defense. And as everyone listening to this knows, Minnesota was without two of their starting offensive linemen last week, their top three tight ends. But other than that, the play was fine, Mrs. Lincoln. So when you look at Minnesota's win in Madison 2 years ago, they were able to run the ball. They also forced an absurdly high amount of turnovers. They had five turnovers. And it was conceivably the last time I could say this statement. Special teams actually helped the team. So the point I'm trying to make here is the Minnesota Moving Company is not at full capacity. And you look at last year's game when it was, they still struggled. 30 carries for 76 yards. It's not going to get it done. I look at Wisconsin's last three games and their three-game losing streak. Don't fault that defense for the Badgers, because 1 yard a carry, 2 yard a carry, 4 yard a carry. And something's got to give here, because Minnesota leads the Big Ten with 20-0 rushing touchdowns. Wisconsin has allowed one all year. So I am incredibly curious to see what gives. Now, I think I know what gives, but here's the reality. Mike Sanford needs to, instead of running the ball to set up the pass, he needs to pass the ball to set up the run. Because opposing quarterbacks against Wisconsin the last three games have 6 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Plus, they're averaging over 10 yards of completion. Now, opposing offenses, and I think this is the most critical stat for folks to know, so listen up, is opposing offenses on Wisconsin's three-game losing streak here are passing the ball 55.5% of the time. Minnesota, at any point this season in any of their games, including Michigan and Iowa, where they were absolutely blown out, have not even passed the ball more than 50% of the time. Minnesota on the season has run the ball 60% of the time. And as we've seen, and as I just told you, Minnesota has yet to pass the ball more than they have run it at any point this season in their 3-3. So if I am Mike Sanford, and I am PJ Fleck, and I am coming to figure out what my game plan is definitively and how we're going to call this game on Friday going into Saturday's game, let's pass the ball early. I understand you want to run the ball, and Fleck told me on Monday when I asked him the specific question that they want to remain balanced. I get it.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been the recipe to beat Wisconsin the last few weeks.
All right.
Do you know about the weather yet?
I do know about the weather.
Let's hear it.
Is this one of the keys to the game? So looking at the weather, around kickoff time, the temperature is going to be hovering right around 32 degrees. The feels like temp's going to be more like the high 20s. Wind coming from the north at about 6 miles an hour, so that shouldn't be a factor. 100% humidity, 32% dew point. Really, the temperature is going to hold throughout game time. The sun is going to set at 4:26. I do think that this is admirable football weather for the middle of December, which it isn't a normal thing.
I'm all for it, because if you know the weather's decent, that means you're going to have to make Graham Mertz beat you.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's, as I mentioned, Minnesota on the season is allowing over 8 yards a carry to running backs. Wisconsin, they're in their last three games with all the injuries and COVID issues that they've had, has only been able to run the ball for 3.84 yards a carry. What does Wisconsin want to do? They want to hide the damn freshman quarterback, especially because he's been struggling. 7 turnovers, 1 touchdown the last 3 games. So if you're Joe Rossi, you got to try to replicate that for the 4th straight time in every one of these Wisconsin games. Stop the run, make Graham Mertz beat you, and then hope like hell you can have some 2018 Madison magic and force a lot of turnovers, because Minnesota's offense, I think, is going to struggle to move the ball in this game. And they're going to need field position like they did last week against Nebraska to be able to convert. And then for the final time, potentially this season, Luke. Final time. I have to potentially mention them. Special teams cannot be the dumpster fire. Now, here's what I'll say, Luke, because I know you hate this part of the program.
I do. I hate it.
The kickoff team has been pretty dang good the last couple weeks.
Wonderful.
They have been helping. They have been helping, but the return units are abysmal. Minnesota still dead last in yards per punt in the Big Ten. And I swear to everything that is holy, if Minnesota does not fair catch every kickoff and punt, it's finally going to be the game where it just breaks the camel's back. You had Philip Howard drop one inside the 10 last week. Cam Wiley decided to return one. He cost the offense 13 yards of field position. So it's real simple. Fair catch every freaking punt or kickoff. Make the extra points. Mark Crawford, you were a lot better. That was your best game. Now how about you flip the field? 2 50-yard punts in Minnesota's last 64. And then, Luke, this is also a little bit of a narrative here. The last time Minnesota made a 41-yard or longer field goal was in this game in Madison 2 years ago. Now it's been 25 months since the Gophers have made a 41-yard field goal or longer. And let's just say I'm not optimistic that changes on Saturday.
All right. I think that your formula and your keys to the game are wise. I do want to point out one thing, which I found kind of interesting as I was looking at the weather. The visibility at kickoff is going to be about 8 miles, and it is slowly going to get worse. I think it's going to get foggy in there. So I think that'll be an interesting storyline. Can you see the football?
Oh my God, imagine. Because it's going to get dark for the, I mean, it's going to be dark by the time they take the second half, because it gets dark at like 4:30 now.
Yeah, the visibility is going to go down to under a mile, which...
How about Daniel Jackson finds one out of the fog with 2 minutes left to put Minnesota up 14-13?
I like
that'd
it.
Be something.
I think he's going to be good, by the way. I think he's going to be a good one.
I do too.
All right. So let's get to predictions again, just for the people at home. I know that I've said this a number of times. The spread is 12 in favor of Wisconsin. The over under is 47. I am going to take, I'm going to take Wisconsin because I just have a hard time believing that Sanford and PJ Fleck are going to basically be aggressive with the opportunity that presents itself. And they're going to stay pretty conservative. I will take Wisconsin 24-21.
Wow, 21 points for Minnesota. I like your enthusiasm there.
Mm-hmm.
So TLDR for everyone. Pass to set up the run instead of running to set up the pass. Stop the Badgers running game. Make Graham Mertz beat you. And for all that's holy, don't be a dumpster fire special teams. And, I mean, the big disclaimer in the room, as it has been all season, is there were 33 players who missed last week's game.
Right.
Including 11 or 12 from the Purdue game that were contributors. Are any of them going to be back? I don't know. And no one will know definitively until about 2:20 Central Time on Saturday when the media gets to see who's warming up and who's not. Now, if you told me all the offensive linemen and defensive linemen and tight ends are back, would I feel a whole hell of a lot better about Minnesota's chances? Yep. Can you count on that right now? I don't think you can. So here's where I'm at. I'm like Luke. I don't think Minnesota's offense, as it's currently constructed with the tight end and offensive line issues, is going to be able to consistently move the ball, especially because I don't trust Minnesota to do my number one key to the game. Now, if they do, I can assure you folks, we will sing Mike Sanford's hymns from the masses, from the pews on Sunday's podcast. We will. But I want to see it in the final, potential final game for Minnesota this season, going into year two of Mike Sanford. Let's see Sanford adapt. And I don't think Minnesota adapts, and I think Minnesota loses this football game 24-14. Luke, for those of the listening audience that are in the Vegas community, I think we both took the under.
We did both take the under. Well, I think just for those that are hanging with us through this entire episode, do join us on Thursday night. I think it should be a fun time. And we do just thank you for listening. It's been fun previewing the games this season. As Ryan and I said, we do think this is the last one. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us, and go Gophers.